Palestinians have moved south during the past 2 days after attacks deep inside Gaza. Military officials say they've attacked a hospital that was also headquarters for Hamas commanders. Here's correspondent Cammie McCormick.
If there is a hell on earth today, its name is Northern Gaza.
The UN's Jens Lerke and now aid groups say more hospitals are being targeted by Israeli strikes. The World Health Organization's Margaret Harris.
Increasing numbers of hospitals are no longer functioning. 20 hospitals out of action.
The latest strikes near Al-Shifa. The biggest hospital in the Gaza Strip. It's also where many Palestinians have sought shelter.
In Columbus, Ohio, investigators say they're looking at hate crimes near the Ohio State campus. Here's CBS's Wendy Gillette.
A public safety notice from the university says two Ohio State students were targeted early this morning. It says two men walked up to them, used a derogatory term, and assaulted them. One was treated at a local hospital and released. The university says the assault is a hate crime motivated by bias against the Jewish community.
Officials say a nearby Jewish center was also vandalized. The feds have pushed back on Alabama's attempts to prosecute women who go out of state for abortions.
The U.S. Justice Department says Alabama cannot use conspiracy laws to prosecute people and groups who help women leave the state for an abortion. The department filed a so-called statement of interest in consolidated lawsuits filed by an abortion fund and others against Republican Alabama Attorney General Steve Marshall. He has said his office would possibly go after people or groups who provide abortion travel assistance. Jim Crisula, CBS News.
The proverbial political ground is still shaking after West Virginia Democrat Joe Manchin's announcement that he won't seek another Senate term. CBS's Scott McFarland is on Capitol Hill.
He has been so relevant here, especially over the past few years, in which he's been not just a swing vote, but the swing vote. It's hard to see him taking easily the irrelevance of retirement. His own confidants in West Virginia tell me he's going to do something next. It's just a matter of what.
Women rule this year's Grammy nominations. SZA got 9 nominations, including a Record and Song of the Year, Billie Eilish, Miley Cyrus, Taylor Swift, Olivia Rodrigo were all nominated in 6 categories. Grammys air February 4th on CBS. On Wall Street, the Dow is up 317. This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
At Grainger, we're for the ones who specialize in saving the day and for the ones who've mastered the art of keeping business moving. We offer industrial-grade supplies for every industry with same-day pickup and next-day delivery on most orders, all backed by real people ready to help. So you can get the right answers and products right when you need them. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Our daughter Jessie loves playing detective.
A clue.
But since we discovered she has sensitive skin, we've been playing detective too.
We thought the problem was our puppy.
But it was actually our old detergent.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So we switched to Tide Free and Gentle. Tide cleans better than the leading competitive free detergent, and it doesn't leave behind irritating residues.
Plus, Tide Free and Gentle has no dyes or perfumes, so it's gentle on her skin.
Case closed.
If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Free and Gentle.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news talk and sports is on 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
Burgers stacked with mushrooms on Wisconsin Swiss cheese, or piled high with smoked brisket, crispy bacon, Wisconsin Gouda, lettuce, tomato, sweet barbecue sauce, and a fried pickle, or simply topped with cheese and fried onions, Monk's Bar and Grill offers classic and gourmet burgers for lunch, dinner, and game day. Whatever you are craving, Monk's has you covered with 7 locations statewide. Monk's Bar and Grill is ready for your next game day visit and is a proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The Wisconsin DNR is asking for help locating black bear dens throughout the state. They're studying bear reproduction rates to update their estimates and improve the accuracy of the number of bears in the state. Researchers are also investigating a possible connection between the consumption of human food by bears and bear reproduction success. Diet can affect cub survival rates and litter sizes. The long-awaited opening of the Up North Brewing Company in Nakusa happens tomorrow. They're opening on Saturday with special guests. Four United States Air Force veterans will open the doors at 11:11 on Saturday. The new brewery will have four of their own beers on tap and a variety of guest taps as well. Veteran-owned business Purple Basil Food Truck will be on site from 11:30 to 2 for the brewery's grand opening. The Up North Brewery Company is located at 304 Matterhorn Trail in Nakusa. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. 25 tonight under overcast skies, northwesterly winds around 5 miles per hour. 42 tomorrow, mainly cloudy. 33 tomorrow night, cloudy. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 41.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this November 10th, 2023. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. In part two today at 3:30, we're going to speak with Stephanie Hartman, Executive Director of the Central Wisconsin Cultural Center. Looking forward to talking with Steph. Right now, looking forward to talking to these gentlemen. We have in with us today, Bob, how do I say this, Durazinski?
Perfect.
Ha! I nailed it. That rarely happens, Bob. Bob is with us as part of the Association of All Handicapped Citizens. Thank you for being here, Bob. Appreciate the time. And we'll wrap up talking with our friend Mike Barnes, Winter Farmers Market. Mike, you're becoming a regular around here.
Well, we're working on it.
Yeah. We appreciate the time. Thanks for being here. So, Bob, first, if you don't mind, thank you for being here, first off. Again, I know you've joined us before, but I was telling the guys during the pregame here that I don't feel like we talk nearly enough about this organization and talk with you enough about it. So get used to being here. Like Mike, you're probably going to become a regular.
Happy to do it.
Bob, first off, if you don't mind, can we talk about what the organization is?
Our organization is a United Way funded group that our goal is to improve the quality of life for individuals with intellectual, developmental, or physical disabilities within the community. We provide activities that allow disabled adults to interact with one another, whether they have similar disabilities, different disabilities, mm-hmm. but giving them a social outlet to do some things they may not normally get to do.
Yeah. I want to get into the resources, the actions, the things, the programs, the things that you guys do. But before we go too far into that, I would think that just the organization existing in itself is a big piece of this. That having a handicap, people having knowing that somebody has their back.
Correct. And that's one of my main purposes being here is to kind of get the word out there that we exist. We have been around since 1976. Mm-hmm.
Been around a long time.
We've been around a long time, and I'm always surprised that when I tell people about it, they're like, oh, I didn't know that existed. So,
you know, and it speaks to, I think, the underlying problem with this in that the way we have treated so many of our handicapped citizens for really ever. We've never really done a great job as a society of this, of taking care of our handicapped citizens. It's compounded by the fact that so few people know of this organization. That just, it's a perfect example of what we're talking about here and the attention we need to bring. You know, in this day and age, in 2023, we have a very woke culture. We have a very open culture that is looking to show more representation and do a better job of correcting things from the past. Yet with this subject, we seem to be missing the mark. Mm-hmm. We seem to have still not hit it with our handicapped citizens. Are you seeing that from your organization? Because I know I am, Bob.
I would agree wholeheartedly. Mm-hmm. It is like they're the forgotten stepchild.
Yeah. It seems that way. Which is so wild to me because, unlike certain other things, like I'm Jewish, okay? So let's say, you know, there's a lot of anti-Semitism out there right now, and me, my tribe, my people, along with many others, are coming out against this, of course. And that makes sense, but that's a niche of society. Whereas handicapped citizens are in all parts of society, in all, rich, poor, man, woman, cat, dog, doesn't matter. Everybody's affected by this. So you would think that there would be much more attention eternally, almost naturally to it, yet there isn't. Why do you think that is, Bob?
That's that's a hard one to
there's no answer,
put your
is
finger
there?
On.
Yeah,
it,
there's so. No. I'm sure it's one of these things that there's no set answer for necessarily. But you would, I don't even have anything to like kick it off, like to get the conversation going as far as what the problems might be with it. Other than, you know, I don't think this is a problem, but I do think that it is on us as citizens to bring attention to this organization.
Right, and I think just the awareness is probably the biggest problem is people not being aware of what is available in their own hometowns.
We're going to do our best to help out with that and bring more and more attention to this as you and I talk more and more over time here. What are some of the things and some of the programs that are available through this organization?
Well, every month, the first Wednesday of every month, we hold a dance at the Beer and Town Hall. Hmm. Every month is a different theme, so this last week was Thanksgiving.
Nice.
Next month will be Christmas. Santa will be there. And so on throughout the year, that depending on the holiday and the month, it's usually geared around that. We also do, and there's, along with that dance, we do a meal that is sponsored by different organizations in the area, churches, things like that. And there's music, DJs, or live bands.
Are these fundraising opportunities?
No,
just
these
events.
Are just purely
just
something fun for people to attend and do. There's also, throughout the year, we have bingo. And again, we have prizes that have been donated for that bingo for
nice
people to hopefully win. We also do a fishing for fun that is kind of sponsored in tandem with the Wilderness Sportsman's Club.
Nice.
Which is a fun time for people to get out, and hopefully the weather is nice. It's usually in August when we do that.
Yeah.
We do River King games, rafter games, as other things for getting people out of wherever they're living and just have a opportunity to socialize.
You know, this is another one of those gray areas that doesn't usually get covered when it comes to our handicapped citizens, is activities, things to do, just simply that. Things where they are not just you know, having to call ahead or look online or hope that there is a you know, their wheelchair accessible or something like that, but having events that are actually designed for that.
Correct.
That's key to the organization, it seems like.
It is. And every month, as people come to the dances and things like that, we give them reminders of what's coming up or sign-up lists if they want to attend. So we kind of have an idea of how many tickets we need for games, things like that. So it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun to see everybody partake in the sheer joy that they get out of it. You don't see a lot of that anymore in the world. It's
no.
Just people having fun.
Well, and it's one of those things where you can almost guarantee it's a fun time. You know? I mean, you go to something like this and you're going to be around some amazing people and a good vibe, a good atmosphere.
Yeah, we have a great group of board members. We have 10 board members. Generally, you have boards where you have presidents, vice presidents, things like that. We do have that, but in reality, not one person on the board is more important than the other. We all are working towards the same thing, the same goal.
Bob, we're speaking with Bob from the Association of All Handicapped Citizens. And Bob, the way I was raised, my mom and dad was very important to them. I had an open mind, open heart. I learned about all religions. I've learned about different creeds, all these different things. Where I grew up in Chicago was a melting pot. I grew up around every race under the sun and all this. But there was one thing that my parents, not to their fault, but just missed and didn't really hit on, and it was handicapped citizens. And I didn't grow up around a lot of that. And I noticed as a teenager that I had this friend, Jeremy, who had cerebral palsy. And Jeremy, one of the coolest, nicest guys I've ever known. But Jeremy really wanted to do everything himself. And I didn't want to let him do everything himself. I always wanted to open the door for him, wanted to do this, wanted to do that. And it finally took, I slept over his house one night, and he finally kind of that's enough. I was trying to hand him a game controller or something. He's like, look, I can get it myself. I didn't learn a lot of these things early on. It took me experiences to learn it. I know I'm not alone on this. When it comes to dealing with our handicapped citizens, is there something that you think, God, it'd be great if everybody knew this, if everybody handled this, could handle it this way or something?
it would just be great if people had the ability to reach out to anybody and spend some time with them, mm-hmm. doing whatever. It always amazes me to, when I'm spending time with anybody with any kind of handicap, mm-hmm. just to observe how they go about dealing with things that most of us take for granted.
Right.
It's their normal. Mm-hmm. And like you said, you want to open doors for them. They don't need that. Right. If they need it, they'll ask.
Right. Yes. And, yeah. It took me a long time to learn that.
Just being aware of kind of different boundaries mm-hmm. of respect.
Yes. Simple respect. I'm glad you said that word, because that was something that I learned through Jeremy, that I've learned some other friends of mine. I have I'm an actor, and I have a good friend of mine who's blind, and talking with him a lot about, you know, rehearsals or auditioning and how grueling that can be. And I think about how I go into these auditions and I'm beating myself up, or I'm thinking this and this and this isn't working or whatever. And I think about his situation, where half the time he wants to audition for something, they send him a script. It's not even in Braille, you know, it's these kind of things. And they just expect him to work around it and everything. They don't work with him. They expect him to work around it. And he doesn't complain. He just does it. He just figures it out. He transfers it into Braille or something like that. Like, anytime I want to complain, I think about him, and it gives me perspective. Mm-hmm. And it gives me a chance to kind of think about what I have in comparison and how that is. Right. And from what I've talked to, a number of handicapped people, this seems to be a good perspective to have. It's a good thing to take from the situation. It's also, I think, important too to realize that this, one of the things, and you can correct me if this isn't correct, Bob, but that to not look at somebody as they need help or lesser than, or as if handicap means there's something wrong. Necessarily, there's nothing wrong with any of these individuals. They're just different than us, just like I have different colored hair than you have, Bob, or something like that. It's no different than that.
You're correct. It's if you spend enough time with any person, disabled or otherwise, you will find they have things that they're maybe not that good at, or things they excel at. Mm-hmm. Everybody has something.
Yeah. Well said.
To a certain degree.
Bob, we always like to, you mentioned the United Way, that this is an organization associated with them. We're great friends with our United Way around here. We love our United Way, and we know it's campaign season for them. So certainly want to encourage people to put into the United Way to help with causes like this, with organizations and programs like this that are doing some of the most vital work in our community. Wanted to bring attention to that, but Bob, is there anything else, as we're wrapping up our part of the conversation, that you feel people should know about this organization, that you'd like to get out there to people? And you'll have other opportunities, sir. So this isn't the last time you're joining us. So
I would encourage anybody, if they know of anybody who has a handicap. Again, this, just want to mention, this is mainly geared towards adults with handicaps,
yes.
Not children.
Yeah.
There's many other, I guess,
yeah.
things for those mm-hmm. Younger people to mm-hmm. take part in. But if you know of anybody or know of somebody who knows of somebody.
Yeah.
And you're hearing this, reach out to those people and let them know that we exist and some of the things we talked about, the dances, mm-hmm. all the other activities, ball games, bingo, and invite them to check us out. We do have a Facebook page. You can call Donna at 715-424-5639 if you have any questions or comments about the organization or how to go about attending anything. She would be the person to talk to.
Same thing with volunteering. If people want to volunteer and help out with that way, reach her.
Yep. Donna would be the person to talk to.
Excellent. We'll probably get that information from you again before we wrap up. But Bob, thank you again so much for being here and for the conversation. Appreciate you and all you're doing.
Thank you.
Now, Mike, your turn. Wake up, Mike.
Hello.
Mike's awake. Mike, thanks again for being here. Appreciate the time.
I appreciate the time you gave us, yes.
I wanted to talk with you about the Winter Farmers Market. And, of course, we've touched on this a little bit over the last couple of weeks, building into the Farmers Market. And just wondering real quickly, before we get into the details of when people could take it in, how is it going so far?
Well, it's started. We've got, you know, about 10 vendors so far. We're trying to get more vendors, you know. We want to make it more interesting for people. Always a challenge in winter because, you know, there's certainly not as many people growing vegetables and things like that. So it gets harder. But, you know, it's going well.
Good. Good to hear. Of course, the Winter Farmers Market goes on Saturdays from 9 to 1 over at the Wisconsin Rapids Moravian Church. Keep that in mind, everybody. The Moravian Church is at 310 First Avenue South right here in Rapids. Can't miss it.
Yep.
When it comes to the types of vendors that we have there, do we have a wide variety of vendors over there yet?
Well, currently, we have baked goods, egg rolls, salsas, snacks. We will have microgreens from Patriot Greens when they get that put together. We have some apple products and honeys from Mike Spike. There's some 3D printed crafts. There's some snack food. So there's a number of interesting vendors.
Yeah,
all in tamales. Don't forget the tamales. Yes.
No, those are good. You cannot miss those. So we've got a wide variety of different things over there with that. How are you for space with the vendors that you have?
We still have plenty of space still open for vendors, yes. Okay. We have quite a few that we're talking to that are thinking of joining us. You know, we'd like to see that go. You know, this fall session will run through December 16th. We are closed Thanksgiving weekend. And then we start up again January 6th, and that's our long session. We run January 6th through May 18th. So we're, you know, and as winter sets in, you know, sometimes we actually get more people coming in to see us and more vendors interested because, you know, all the holiday distractions start winding down.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's right around the corner. Any second now, that's going to kick into gear. That's going to get going. And it seems like a blur up until January 1st.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to the vendors out there that might be listening that want to be a part of this, we'll let them know how they can be a part of the Winter Farmers Market before we wrap up as well.
Sure.
Are we looking, you mentioned to bring in different types of vendors. So that's something certainly you've heard the things that Mike was mentioning before. If you are selling different types of items, please do reach out because that is something we'd love to add to this to the farmers market.
Yes, we're very open on the type of vendors that could join us. You know, we're trying to get more as much as possible more farmer type items. You know, but like I said, there are some limitations that come with being in the middle of the winter, right?
Yeah.
But you know, we're certainly open to crafts and even direct sell vendors. We got a pretty good amount of space.
Yeah.
We want to fill it up for people to make it interesting, a fun place to come on Saturday morning.
Well, and I'm glad you said that, Mike, because while all the vendors and so many, the baked goods, so many of these things, it's all great and all good reasons to stop by, buy local, support local. That includes our vendors. That includes events at the Moravian Church, things like that. But the thing that every year I hear about this, that I and it happens with the farmers market in general, the summer farmers market as well, I hear from people, I hear from listeners every year. Did you go to the farmers market yet? Oh, because I ran into so-and-so, and I haven't seen them in years. Like, it feels like, yes, we love all these other things, but that is one of the most fun parts of this is the organic relationships that get made or, you know, you see somebody you haven't seen in a while or something like that. A community hub. It's an opportunity for people to come together.
Yes, absolutely. We've seen that, you know, many people come and they meet each other there at the market, say, oh, you know, how you doing? Mm-hmm. I know that my wife and I went to a summer market or two and we ran into people she hadn't seen for years, you know. So, yes, it's definitely community is part of the thing.
Are there types of vendors that would not work at the Moravian Church in case they are listening out there and they don't? Because I can't think of any that couldn't necessarily, but just in case, I wanted to make sure to cover that. I can't think of any that couldn't, though.
The one thing that comes to mind would be flea market style things.
Right, you know, okay, sure.
Or not a garage sale flea market type thing.
You know? Nobody selling horses. Nobody, no, that. Don't have that much room. No. But otherwise, I might bring it up for the point of, you know, if you're out there, if you're a vendor, come on by. Reach out
come
to
on
us.
By.
Got the room, and I can't imagine many people outside of maybe a flea market situation that couldn't work out over there at the Moravian Church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
I'm going to put you on the spot for a second, though, Mike. When it comes to the events, the things at the farmers market, do you have something that is your favorite that stands out to you that you would encourage people to check out?
Well, going to be my
favorite.
It's
a tough question.
Going to be my favorite real quickly. December 2nd, we have Visit Santa at the market.
Oh, there you go.
We're going to have a Santa arranged. We're working on some of the details, but we will have refreshments. We know for sure we're going to have things like coffee, hot chocolates, water. We're going to have cookies and baked goods. I'm going to be talking to some vendors and see how they might be able to participate. We haven't figured out exactly how we're going to do it yet, but we might have a couple raffle baskets with gift certificates and, Moravian Stars maybe. We're busy working on that. Bob works with me on this. He's one of the people helping me out, and we got some other people. So, yeah, we're working on that a lot.
Mike, I hope you know I respect you, and I really appreciate the time from you. You buried the lead. You got Santa coming? You landed. That's a get. We can't even get him on Midday Magazine. I can't even get him on here. That's a get there, sir. Nicely done by you guys. So, that's going
to
be fun.
Well, we think it'll be a fun day. It'll be a chance for the church to interact with the general public. You know, we hopefully have some of our church members there and just talk with people.
Yeah.
That's what it's about.
Well, and in all seriousness, you know, you have Santa there, that brings the kids in, and and for kids, I feel like I shouldn't have to, but I always feel like I can't help myself reminding adults, they're sponges. These kids are sponges, and they're seeing how we're acting, they're seeing how we handle each other, how we treat each other. And when you bring your kid to a winter farmer's market, they're seeing you buy local. They're seeing you how important that is to you. Those hard dollars that you've earned, you're spending with locals. You're keeping in your community. That they take that in. They learn from that. They are raised on that, and they want to act like that. They want to be like that. And then there's also just the interacting with just people and just seeing that, and gets good for kids. So There is another layer to this. While it is fun, there's never a bad time seeing kids getting excited about Santa.
Right.
That's never going to get old. There's also that part of it that I think is really cool, too, of giving kids an opportunity to see, hey, we don't just say buy local, support local. We're actually doing it. We're actually putting our dollars into it.
Yes, absolutely. That's they're going to mirror the behaviors they see from us.
Yeah. Is there anything else about the farmer's market that we haven't touched on you want to make sure we get to?
We are closed November 24th, Thanksgiving Day weekend. Our second session will be closed the Easter weekend, but otherwise we should be there every weekend. There's contact information. You can go to the wrmoravian.org.
Mm-hmm.
There is a place there for customers, winter market. It'll say winter market, and there's one there for the vendors. A direct link for the vendors is wrmoravian.org/market-vendors.html. That'll take them directly to the vendor page.
Mm-hmm.
There's information in there for people.
Yeah, yeah.
When we're open, access.
Mm-hmm.
Fact that we are handicapped access and, information they need to know how to come.
The Wisconsin Rapids Indoor Winter Farmers Market at the Moravian Church goes on Saturdays 9 to 1 over at 3rd Avenue South, right there, 310 1st Avenue South. Can't miss it right here in Rapids. And as Mike was telling you there, you can find out more at wrmoravian.org, wrmoravian.org. Also encourage people to, if you are interested in the services that Beth and the team offer over there, she puts that on their YouTube page every Sunday. I know my father loves it. Encourage you to check it out. Just type into your YouTube search bar, Wisconsin Rapids Moravian Church, and subscribe to their page. Bob, as we're wrapping up here, you had some information for us you read earlier. If you wouldn't mind repeating that again, the number of the lady that people can call if they'd like to volunteer or just find out more about the organization, Association of All Handicapped Citizens.
Correct. There's also, like I mentioned, a Facebook group named Association of All Handicapped Citizens. You can check out or call Donna at 715-424-5639.
Bob, Mike, I genuinely mean it. I really appreciate you guys not only being here, but what you're doing for our communities. Keep up the great work. Let us know if there's anything else we can do.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll talk again soon. Thanks, guys. We'll be back with more Midday Magazine right here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.
Be a part of the resistance. Check out The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson, Monday nights at 7 on locally grown radio, 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR, and on the Civic Media app. Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Keep up on the day's news, talk, and sports on Wisconsin's home for locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
I'm a Vietnam veteran.
I always knew that I was going to join the military.
My grandfather pulled out his own military uniform and actually let me put it on.
The greatest thing you could ever do in your life is to change and impact the world around you.
Anybody that has ever served in the military has that sense of serving others.
I wanted to keep the people of the United States safe.
Being a veteran comes with a responsibility.
My role is being a protector.
We're born a proud country. We need to keep it that way. Boot Barn.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Tis the season for upper respiratory infections. While many of them can be treated with care at home, if it develops into pneumonia, you may need to see a doctor.
When the breathing becomes so difficult that you just need more oxygen is a very good time to come and see. If your fever is over 102 degrees and persistent, definitely come and see the doctor. If you're coughing up productive green phlegm or pus, definitely come see a doctor.
Dr. Samuel Staling, MD with Aspirus, goes on to say, you can reduce your risk with proper hand washing and good hygiene. Maintaining a strong immune system through healthy habits will bolster your body's defenses. These include getting enough sleep, eating a balanced diet, and getting regular physical activity. Healthy habits can all contribute to a robust immune response. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. 25 tonight under overcast skies, northwesterly winds around 5 miles per hour. 42 tomorrow, mainly cloudy. 33 tomorrow night, cloudy. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 41.
Did you know that feeling sluggish or weighed down could be a sign that your digestive system isn't working at its best? Taking Metamucil every day can help. Metamucil fiber powders help promote your daily digestive health using a plant-based fiber called psyllium. The gelling action of this special fiber traps and removes waste so you can feel lighter and more energetic. Metamucil, promoting digestive health for a better you. Learn more at Metamucil.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this November 10th, 2023. I have your host, James J. Mailoff, here, and we're joined right now by our great friend, Stephanie Hartman, Executive Director of Central Wisconsin Cultural Center. Steph, it's good to see you.
Nice to see you, James. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, always. Door's always open for you. And feels like it's been a while since you've been with us.
It has, I think.
Good to have you with us.
Time flies.
Do you need a second to kind of get your bearings back? You know, you remember how to do this?
I think I remember.
You're a pro. You're good at this. We first off want to thank you and the team over there at the Cultural Center bringing so much fun and art to our community. Let's touch on some of that, Stephanie, if you don't mind. You got a great event that just wrapped up yesterday.
Yes, so it was the opening for our holiday gifts and art fair. Super exciting. I mean, we had great sales this week. I think we're over $2,100 in sales. Nice. Just from Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and that doesn't include last night. So we're really excited. We have over 50 artists in the fair.
Wow.
All different types of items. New to us this year is Castle Farley, and they do soaps and lip balms and beard oil and all these different things, and it's all obviously natural. So it was really great to have her there. She had great sales last night. Back by popular demand is Midwest Nice Candle Company with Carol Davis.
Yeah.
She also had great sales. She can nail those scents. It's amazing.
Oh, she is so good. Those are amazing candles.
They are. Wow. They are. My favorite's the Old Fashioned. Yeah, and it actually smells like an Old Fashioned, which,
it does.
I mean, kudos to her.
It's
nice,
amazing.
Nice
what
chemistry.
They can do. Yeah. it really is. Yeah. I'd love to have her on the air just to like pick her brain about
that
stuff.
Yeah. It would be really super interesting, actually.
We'll have to set that up.
Yeah.
So she had good sales. That's great to hear.
Yes. Yes. We have Terry Torgensen, who is new to us, who is doing beautiful handmade knit shawls and sweaters and neckerchiefs, she calls them, which I've never seen before, but they're really cool. Stocking hats. So she's been great to have new to the show. Then we have tons of like holiday ornaments and cards. We have charcuterie boards. We have cribbage boards. Just all sorts of really great things. So it's a really nice show. I would encourage everyone to stop in. It's so nice to be able to give someone a gift that is handmade. And starting tomorrow, we have Saturday hours through December 21st. So we will be open on Saturdays, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. So we want to give the community that opportunity to come in and shop, because during the week, we know we close at 5, and if you work, that's hard. Mm-hmm. So 9 till 1, and then Small Business Saturday, which is in November, mm-hmm. right after Thanksgiving, mm-hmm. we will be open that day 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. So mark your calendar to stop in. And even though, you know, people say, oh, is it picked over? It's not. We actually will call our individuals, our artists, and say, hey, you sold out of this. Can you replenish? Do you have more? We have artists who just sit down and make stuff, too, for us because they want to replenish. So don't be afraid that there won't be anything to offer. So come on in and shop and support our local artists.
And this goes on Thursday?
Every week.
Every week.
Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., and then Saturdays, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m.
And I have to mention, because he's one of my favorite people, Pete Ravel is there playing a little in the background, from what I understand.
He did last night.
Okay.
They will keep their time slot. People have been asking that. We will make room for them to keep their time slot the first and third Thursday of the month. At 2 p.m. for Four on the Floor. So they will still be playing their date upcoming here in November and then two times in December. So come and visit while they're playing and you can shop.
Yeah. I mean, that is such a perfect combination.
It is.
Great background music to help you pass in your time as you're looking around at these items and everything, and supporting the arts all around, not only with your dollars, but with your listening and supporting it that way.
Sure. And our gift shop is also year-round, and that obviously is still open as well. So when I say we have over 50 artists in the show, then we have an additional like 30 or 40 in the gift shop. So, you know, lots to pick from.
Yeah. We all understand, and it's been a popular phrase since even before the pandemic, but especially took a rise during the pandemic, buy local, support local.
Absolutely.
We understand how important that is. And certainly in this community, we have a great, great response to that in this community. But and this is not this isn't one of these things that puts this above others. It's just a matter of fact to me. I don't know anybody who does that like the Cultural Center does.
Right.
You know, you guys really are the essence of that, the embodiment of that. And at this time of year, as we're getting into the holiday gauntlet that is ahead of us right now, and we know that there's going to be a lot of people spending dollars locally.
That's right.
Cannot encourage you enough to spend those with our local vendors, with our people at the Cultural Center that are putting their items over there. You are not going to find many, many more opportunities where you really are keeping that money in the city, in the town, and it going directly, no middle person, none of that, just going right to the seller.
Yes.
Like, you can't beat that nowadays. You can't get that on Amazon. You can't get that at Walmart. You can't get that at other places. And you can't get these kind of items there, too.
Very true.
My mother cannot be the only one. I can't be the only person in this situation where I could go buy my mom $1 million gift. She wouldn't want it. Oh, that's nice, Jimmy. Now, if I go and get her something from the Cultural Center that is handmade by somebody that you can't find anywhere else, that might as well be worth $1 million to her.
Right.
And I know she's not the only one. There's a lot of people out there. This time of year, it's a good thing to keep in mind.
Absolutely. And yesterday was a great example. One of our artists came in and ended up purchasing a couple cards and I think a piece of jewelry. And she said, guess how I'm paying for this? I just got my payout from the last show because she was in our last show
and
we had cut checks. And she said, I'm just bringing that money right back in and I'm going to spend it here. So that was really cool. It kind of stopped me in my tracks. Like,
yeah, that got me.
Oh, that's really cool. That's where she's going to use that money. Is she was buying some Christmas gifts. And she said, but I'm coming here because you guys supported me and now I'm going to support the other artists. So that was really cool. And it really is nice to see local artists being able to share their work, make some money from it, and then they come back in and support. So that was pretty cool.
So many of these artists are, they got day jobs. They got other things that they're doing, and they take the time out of their day to do this because it's a passion, that's something they love, and they love their community.
Right. You know? Absolutely.
Very few people are becoming Rockefellers off of this. It's about,
that's true, too.
It's about putting into the community and giving some more fun to it. And I imagine the passion of doing these things and making these things as well. the holiday gifts and art fair. Shop and mingle with the arts, 5:30 to 7:30. And as you said, Stephanie, it's Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday?
Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, now during the day, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Last night was shop and mingle with the artists, 5:30 to 7:30. Mm-hmm. So most of the artists were there, which was also very nice because then the artists get to mingle with each other, get ideas from each other, and then when they buy, they're supporting each other. So that's really cool. But yes, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Saturdays, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Mm.
We'll go over those hours before we wrap up again, just to remind everybody. I know that you guys have some amazing classes going on over there. Can we go to those a little bit?
We do. We're in the midst of all of our clay ornament classes. Mm-hmm. So they have completed session one. They built their ornaments. And we are firing them, and then they will come back after Thanksgiving and glaze them, and we'll fire them again, and they can pick them up. We did a holiday tray in pottery, and we did mosaic holiday tray. We filled the first class. That will be in December. The first week, we just opened a session for the second session because we had such a wait list, and that's filling really quickly. We had two people register this morning already. And that's holiday mosaic tray. There's pictures on our website. You choose either a Christmas tree design or a snowflake, and our instructor will help you cut your pieces, place them in. You glue them the first night, then you come back. The class is on Monday and Wednesday. Then you come back on Wednesday and you grout, and then she finishes them up for you, and you pick them up the next week. So that's really cool.
Yeah, yeah. Are the supplies there already? Yeah.
Everything is at the center. We purchase the trays, and then we have the glass studio, and that's the glass that they use. And it's been really popular. This instructor is new for us, and she has filled every class, and she made the joke, you know, I think I should just quit my day job and just do this full time. And we're like, yes, please.
Yeah, yeah.
So Cindy's our new instructor, one of our new instructors, and has just been a pleasure to work with, and it's super exciting to have her on board. So watch for upcoming classes with her as well.
Something really piggybacking off what we were talking about before about, you know, gifts for the holidays, the only thing that tops a locally made handmade gift is something you make yourself, possibly for your you know, significant other, your mom and dad, or brother, sister, whoever it might be.
Right. And the first classes that she ran for the mosaic tray, you designed your own. And personally, I was like, yeah, so I'm not going to take that class because what would I do? I wouldn't have the ideas. So to know that there's a pattern for this one has me a little intrigued.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I could stay after work that a couple nights and do that.
That might be a little different.
Right. And either do the snowflake or the Christmas tree. So like I said, you can see pictures online. They're very beautiful.
Yeah. And it's something that, look, I have not, very few, I'm not an artist. Like, I'm an actor. I can act like an artist, but that's about it.
Sure.
Even I could do something like this. Even I can have fun with these things and enjoy and get my artistic, itch or you know, taken care of.
Right. And it is therapeutic. I have done a mosaic class in the past. It's super therapeutic to cut the glass and place it, and just kind of, it's very relaxing, surprisingly.
Yeah.
And we have a mosaic window class going on right now. It's a 4-week class. But one of the participants is like, I look forward to this all week. I just can't wait to come in and work on the window. And it kind of gets me in a zone. Mm-hmm. And it's very relaxing. It helps my blood pressure. I'm like, well, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
So the windows that they're making are pretty incredible. And we're going to run the window class again, I think, after the new year.
Cool.
Because it's a 4-week class, and in the winter, I mean, what else do you want to do
right.
but come create? So
yeah,
that will be great.
Well said. We are speaking with Stephanie Hartman, Executive Director of the Central Wisconsin Cultural Center. Stephanie, I know that there's a Frosty the Snowman ornament and jar one coming up as well.
Yes, I was just going to mention that. It's a great way to repurpose a jar, and we do have jars available. But if you want to, you know, if you have this jar that sits in your garage or your kitchen, you're like, what am I going to do with that? Come take our class. Denise Larson is our instructor for that. She'll lead you through the process of you basically do like a white glaze first, and then she'll lead you through doing the snowman face. and then doing a small ornament as well. So it'll work out well because the jar can dry while you do the ornament, then you go back and do the face, then go back to the ornament. And there's pictures of that online as well, or we have examples at the center. So step in the center and you can see those, and that class is coming up quickly. So you can register online or just call the center, and our phone number is 715-421-4598, and you can call to register, and we'll put you on the list.
Get that information out there again before we wrap up, but thank you for that, Stephanie.
Yeah.
With a class like that, that's a certainly a fun one, and you kind of touched on this too, something to do this time of year. That's always nice. That's a nice added bonus to this as well, along with getting something cool and repurposing something. one of my favorite things is seeing people repurpose like old doors or turning it into a table or anything. This is kind of a more condensed version of that, but it's still a version of that that's kind of cool.
Exactly. And I think with this class, it's really neat because you come, you're there 2 hours, maybe 2.5, and you walk out with your product. Mm. Where some, you know, some people don't like that they have to come multiple sessions.
Sure. Yeah.
And then I just want to do it and get it done and take it home. And this is the perfect class for that. And then you have some cute holiday decor as well.
There's a intro to Masters Art series that I see, the Vincent van Gogh. It's a class. Yeah, it's a class coming up. Sorry, there's a class. Can you tell me about that one?
Sure. So this summer we did a Masters series for kids, and we had adults saying, you should do that for adults. I would take that.
Oh, cool.
So instead of doing, you know, in the summer we did one a week for a 7-week period with the week of 4th of July off. Mm-hmm. So for this, we decided to spread it out throughout the winter. We're doing it once a month. Rochelle Grossbeier is our instructor. She's fantastic. And each month you will study a different artist. So Vincent van Gogh is coming up.
Nice.
And then you will do a project related to that artist. So each month is someone different. And all the specifics are on our website. If you click on the Masters series header that you can see on the main page, it will list each artist, what you're going to do for your project, and then a registration link. If you don't want to register online, that's fine. You can call the center and we'll register you, or you can stop in.
Mm-hmm. Good to know. Don't ever let that hold you back from being a part of these classes.
Exactly.
If you're having difficulty registering or difficulty with any of these things, please reach out to the Cultural Center. They want you to be a part of these things.
That's right.
Any more classes we want to tell people about?
I think that's it for this year.
Yeah.
Like I said, we have a lot of the pottery ones. They're doing their second sessions. Mm-hmm. Actually, tomorrow we do have Just Glaze It, which the ornaments are pre-made for you. But you can come in and glaze them, and then we'll fire them for you, and you'll be able to pick them up for the holidays. I had forgotten about that because we had the opening last night.
Yeah.
I'm all out of whack here.
It's understandable. You got a million things going on over there. Yeah, yeah.
And we do have some openings in that class. So if you are interested, give us a call today, and we'll get you registered. Just leave a message on the answering machine, or that's another one you could register online. So go online and go ahead and register. And that's tomorrow morning.
And I have to mention, Stephanie, it is in my contract. I have to talk about Pete any chance I get. you can catch Pete Revelle in Four on the Floor, 2 to 4, twice a month, I believe.
Yes, the first and the third Thursday of the month from 2 to 4. So they will be there Thursday, November 16th at 2 o'clock. That would be a great way to kick off your deer hunting weekend your pre-holiday celebration.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
The week before Thanksgiving.
You are good at this. Well done. Yes. Coming up on December 1st, you guys, like, I was just talking to the guys about this that we just had in, and Pam and I, for years, have been trying to get Santa on the air with us. We've been trying to land this interview for Midday Magazine. We can't seem to get him on the phone. I can't seem to get his representation. You got Santa, though. You got Santa coming up.
Yes, I have Santa secured for a date.
Off air, we're going to talk. Off air, we're going to talk. I need to know who you're to contact. You got Santa coming to town. This is going to be cool.
We do. On Friday, December 1st. So there is no school, public or private, that day. So we thought, what a great Friday to do some activities, give the parents something to do with their kids on their day off. So we will have story time with Santa. The story will start at 10:30. And then after story time, we will do some craft projects. We have some ornaments that the kids can paint. We have other, you know, little holiday projects they can do as well. So beginning at 10, then story at 10:30, and then projects afterwards.
Yeah.
We are asking for a small donation per child just to help cover our costs. Mm-hmm. But yes, we're very excited to have Santa coming. We did this event last year for the very first time. It was a huge success. We had over 120 people, I think it was. So mark it on your calendar. And like I said, it's the perfect day because it's a day off of school. And it kind of gets you excited for the holidays.
Yeah, it's very smart to do that, to have an event like that planned for that particular day. It's also really insightful in knowing your community. That feels like something that you guys do tenfold over there. Stephanie, is that something that is an intention of yours over there and you and the team?
Absolutely. You know, they talk about with anything that you're doing, kind of know your audience, know what works for your community. And we did try it last year as kind of like, gosh, I don't know how this is going to go. And we were thrilled with the turnout. So we're going to do it again. And what we love is it gives exposure to the center. Mm-hmm. People come in and say, I've never been in here before. Gets them through the door. The parents will have the opportunity to shop. So that will also be open. And it gives kids a little bit of insight into a different place that they can come do art.
Yeah.
I know in the schools they can't do as much as they used to with the arts. Some of the funding's been cut. So we're trying to kind of supplement that, give them other creative experiences. And, you know, painting the ornaments and doing some other holiday crafts, I think, kind of opens that door.
It's a huge impact for these kids, for our community.
Yes.
There are so many kids out there that are almost every kid's a creative.
Absolutely.
But so many kids that want to go into the creative arts or just, you know, do something. Maybe it's not going to be a career, but it's something that they want to get that creativity out of themselves and stuff. And having avenues for that, there's fewer and fewer as we go along here. That's another reason why the cultural center is so vital to our community, giving kids not only opportunities to do these things, but a hub, if you will, kind of having their back, if you will, in a way of, you know, the arts are appreciated in this community. The arts are respected in this community. This is a good thing to be putting your time into. This is much better than this or this or this you could be doing possibly. It's similar. It's a very same thing as sports. It's no different than sports. It's, hey, we're glad you're doing this and putting your time into this and not something knucklehead, you know, that kind of thing. It's the arts are the very, but we don't, you're never going to see any cutting of sports. You're not going to see anybody cutting sport funding
truth?
On that.
Right.
But the arts get cut every 5 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
So it's so vital. It's so insightful and cool to see community members and organizations seeing this and taking action to it. As one of those kids, that was one of those kids, I should say. I am not a kid anymore. those days are long gone. I appreciate that. I respect that. And as the you know, a parent, I think that's pretty amazing too to see and go so far.
Yes. And it is important. And, you know, that kind of can lead into a couple other things that we do. We are the hub for music lessons. So we have instructors that the community coordinates directly with the instructor, but they're using our space.
Mm-hmm.
So there is guitar and ukulele lessons. There's voice lessons. There's piano lessons. And there's percussion lessons. So if you need contact information for that, you can contact us. We do also have a page on our website that says lessons, and then there's the instructor contact. So there is an option for that as well. We also are home to Central Wisconsin Choristers, which is a children's choir, and those students are usually grades 3 through 8 from Plover, Wisconsin Rapids, Rudolph, Nakusa, Port Edwards, all those areas. And it's a children's choir. Merv Altus is the director there. And that's also another opportunity for kids to kind of express themselves and get some choral background and training. And then we also are home to what was very special Arts Choir, which is now Arts for All Choir, which is a choir for individuals with disabilities. So they meet at the center on Tuesday evenings. couple times a month, and then they'll do a little performance usually in December and then in May as well. So lots of opportunities for people to express themselves and to learn different things and try different things.
If I'm somebody listening to this and I have a craft skill that I do or an instrument that I can play or something, and I would like to get into teaching or instructing and maybe having a class there, is that something that's an option?
Yes, absolutely. They can just reach out to me. And the big thing right now is coordinating the times of the music room and working with all the instructors. But absolutely, if someone needs a space to provide lessons, they can reach out to us and we can do that.
The events that we talked about earlier, they are register events. If people want to register, if people want to reach out about being an instructor or just find out more about some of the things we've talked about today, Stephanie, how can they do that?
Sure. You can always email us. Our email is CWCC, so Central Wisconsin Cultural Center, CWCC at culturalcenterarts.org.
And be sure to find them on social media. It's a great Facebook page to follow. It's another great way to keep up on all the good things going on over at the Central Wisconsin Cultural Center. And we're going to have you back real soon, Stephanie. We got a lot of great events coming up in the area over there that we want to talk about. But I did want to take a moment to thank our friends over at the Visit Wisconsin Rapids Bureau.
Yes.
Giving us the time here to hang out with Stephanie and Meredith and the gang over there that we appreciate so much. There is a lot of great events going on throughout our community, and especially this weekend, the WIAA State 8 player football going on. Florence taking on Thorpe over at the Southwick County Stadium. That is going on today. Or, I'm sorry, tomorrow that is going on. Today, we have a lot of veterans activities happening in the community. We encourage you to take in those. We, of course, have the VFW blood drive happening today as well, and their spaghetti dinner taking place over at the VFW. That will be on Saturday. Great events, just as similar as what we were talking about with Stephanie about buying local, supporting local.
Yep.
That doesn't just include small businesses or the arts. It includes our vets. It includes organizations like this and supporting them. And there is not a better time of year to show your support than this week in our Veterans Day weekend. So we encourage you to do that. Also, find out more about what's going on in this area, because this is my job to know what's going on here, and I still miss things from time to time.
Sure.
You can find all of that stuff at visitwisrapids.com. That is the Visit Wisconsin Rapids Bureau's website. That's visitwisrapids.com. Go there and be sure to bookmark that page. And along with as long as you're bookmarking stuff, bookmark the Central Wisconsin Cultural Center's website, culturalcenterarts.com, culturalcenterarts.com. Thanks again for the time, Stephanie.
Thank you.
We'll have more Midday Magazine for you next week. Want to send a big shout out to our scheduler, Pam Hilke, the heart of this station. Great work, Pam. Appreciate you. We'll have more stuff for you next week right here on WFHR, locally grown radio.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
CBS News Brief. Correspondent Willie James Inman has the latest on an Israeli attack in a hospital in Gaza.
The Hamas-run health ministry blames Israel. Israel blames militants, but added Hamas is using the hospital as cover, its main command center underneath. Hamas says the Palestinian death toll now exceeds 11,000.
Threats made to Muslim students at the University of Connecticut. Here's WFSB-TV's Dylan Fearon.
Students reported the vile messages to UConn police and the FBI. UConn tells us the call originated from an Oklahoma-based number. There's no indication of any connection to UConn.
In Texas, private companies can no longer require workers to get COVID vaccinations. Governor Greg Abbott says it's all about
the freedom of all Texans to make their own decisions about what health care they want to access and what health care they want to reject.
Violators can be fined $50,000. CBS News Brief. I'm Peter King.
From the home of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news, talk, and sports station.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. More layoffs at the Universities of Wisconsin. This time, UW-Parkside in Kenosha plans to cut almost 10% of its workforce over the next year. About 50 full-time jobs will be cut through a combination of voluntary separations, layoffs, and attrition. This after similar cuts at UW-Platteville at Oshkosh and, to a lesser extent, at Green Bay. Republican state lawmakers could make their next moves to impeach Wisconsin's embattled elections administrator as early as next week. That's what Representative David Steffen of Green Bay tells Channel 3 in Madison. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss referred an impeachment resolution to committee last week. That was right after a right-wing group launched a pressure campaign urging lawmakers to impeach Megan Wolf. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The town of Grand Rapids will hold their plan commission meeting on Monday, November 13th at 6 p.m. at the Grand Rapids Town Hall. Work on the traffic signal improvements at West Grand Avenue and West Riverview Expressway in Wisconsin Rapids is on hold until permits can be obtained from Canadian National to complete work near the railroad. Once cleared, crews can erect the two new poles and switch to the new equipment. State Highway 13 and 34 will have lane closures starting on Monday from High Street to Wilson Street. Beginning at 6 a.m. on Monday, November 13th, the inside left lane will be closed for southbound traffic. Crews are making repairs to the catch basin in that area. They expect to move the closure to the inside left lane for northbound traffic by Tuesday at 6 a.m. to continue the repairs. The work is expected to be finished by 3 p.m. on Thursday, November 16th. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
Now is your chance to be there when the Badgers take the field at Camp Randall Stadium for the final time this season. Celebrate Senior Day with Wisconsin football on November 18th by securing your tickets today. Don't wait. Lock in your spot for game day today. For more information and to purchase your Wisconsin football tickets, visit uwbadgers.com or call 1-800.